Genesis 13 tells the fascinating story of two wealthy men. When given a choice to live anywhere he wished, Abraham consulted God for direction. Lot, however, relied on his own instincts. Abraham acquiesced to Lot, giving him first choice. And today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll recounts this powerful real-life dilemma. And he'll help us understand the relevant application. Whether wealthy or not so much, nothing is more important than trusting our financial position to God. And nothing more important than relying on Him for wisdom, direction, and provision. Chuck titled his message, A Decision That Led to Disaster.
Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. What do we learn from that? If it's all written for our instruction, we learn obedience. When God leads us to move from the familiar to the unfamiliar, we're to obey. So we learn that. We learn the value of it from Abram's life. And then along the way, you remember he's built an altar here. At each place, he stops and he offers up his prayers. So what do we learn from that? The instruction is devotion. The importance of staying devoted to your God, connecting with Him, praying to Him, listening to His voice, obeying when He leads you in that direction, not arguing, not wrestling, but trusting Him. And then along will come a time of testing, as it happened in the life of Abram. And Abram, rather than staying where there was a severe famine and trusting God to meet his needs, you remember this from last time, escaped to Egypt, which is a picture of acting in the flesh. The instruction we learned from that, since whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction today, we learn there are consequences with acting in the flesh. So, before you think Abraham is some kind of special sacred category and you're not there, understand we're all of the same boat. We all have the same nature. We all have our own Egypts. We all have our own temptations and tests. Now, the one we're going to meet up with in Abram's life at this study in Genesis 13 is the test of prosperity. Chapter 13, verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. So he's traveling along with his wife and his nephew Lot. Next verse. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Came as far as Bethel, the place where his tent had been at the beginning, so he's backtracking between Bethel and Ai, verse 4, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly, and there, finish the sentence, Abram called on the name of the Lord. He is heavy with these riches. In fact, he's not alone. Verse 5 tells us that his nephew was also heavy. Lot, who went with him, also had flocks and herds and tents. So he's got plenty. And this is where there is a decision made that leads to tragic consequences. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were great that they were not able to remain together. And so there is a strife, verse 7 tells us, between the herdsmen. I'm impressed with Abram's response. In fact, I like even his words. Verse 8, Abram said to Lot, please. That's a nice way to begin. In fact, he says it again in the middle of verse 9. Please separate from me. Please. Look at the kind appeal. Let there be no strife between you and me. May I urge you to cultivate a spirit of generosity. Just great-hearted generosity. How easy to forget how blessed we are. And what a joy we're missing, since the one we worship once said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so true. So true. So here's Abraham with all this land, and he says to Lot, hey man, you pick what you want. What do we read? Watch closely. Verse 10. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered, everything. Everywhere. Added a little later, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Why, it was like the garden of the Lord, meaning the Garden of Eden. That's how lush it was. It was like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. The grass is grown high, and the trees are luxuriant, and the water flows freely. Because of all of that rain, it was well watered everywhere. It was like the garden of the Lord. How rarely you read those words in the Old or New Testament. It's like the Garden of Eden. I mean, it was like an enormous oasis in the middle of this otherwise parched land. And Lot looks down there and we read, so Lot chose. I've circled that word. He saw. He chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed. I've circled that. He saw, he chose, he journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. No reference to Lot building an altar. No word regarding Lot's praying and asking for God's guidance. Is that where you would have me move my livestock and ultimately my wife and family? Is that where we should live? There's not even a word of his asking Abram for wisdom. Abram's older. He's been around. He's already modeled generosity, so he knows he can talk with Abram without worrying about his taking back his offer. But there's nothing here of that. Abram settled in the land of Canaan while Lot, I've circled it, settled in the cities of the valley. Look at the downward slide. He saw, he chose for himself, he journeyed there. He settled. Notice he settled in the cities of the valley. Not a word of gratitude, not a thank you, not a hint of forethought. Could my family handle it, living in Sodom and Gomorrah? Not a moment's realization that from here on he will be a citizen in a city out of control. What about his kids? What about his own wife? What about their kids? Alexander White is not very charitable. This old Scottish preacher from Edinburgh, as he writes of Lot. Lot stood up, looked out the best land, the best water in all the country around, and drove his flocks down into it without a moment's hesitation or a touch of remorse or so much as a thank you. Lot knew quite well both the name and the character of the city lying in the rain and sunshine below. He had often heard his uncle praying and plotting with God with all his might for Sodom. But Lot had no fear. Lot did not care. His cattle were already up to their bellies in the grass around Sodom, and that was heaven upon earth to Lot. Isn't it interesting that the narrative ends at this point? He settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. We know that today. However, when you travel to the Holy Land, you can't find Sodom or Gomorrah. As a result of God's judgment, it has sunk beneath the waters of the southern part of the Dead Sea. But then, it was heaven on earth. Unless you think about the lifestyle you also move into. I want to apply this very seriously in four areas, four simple words, always and never, forget and remember. They go together. Always and never, forget and remember. Simple sentences. Having been instructed in whatever was written in earlier times, now in order to have hope, we need the warnings. Number one, always. Always look beyond the positive benefits of a decision. Always look beyond the positive benefits of a decision. The positive is usually obvious, and it can be grasped immediately. One of the major weaknesses of our times is instant gratification. Our preoccupation with it is deadly. Our mentality feeds on, what's in it for me? How happy will she make me? What benefit will I get from this, rather than forcing ourselves to see beyond the positives and addressing the things that are consequences? What are the drawbacks? Which brings me to the second. Never, never, never underestimate the impact of negative consequences. Let me give you a tip here. The positive benefits will rarely be as good as we anticipate, and the negative impact will usually be worse than we expected. Lot looked, saw how green the valley was, how much water flowed into it, how good it would be for his cattle, how much more cattle he would get from their breeding and their good health and the money he would make from that. Never once asking, I wonder what the influence would be on my family when we begin to live in Sodom. Before you decide to move away from the powerful impact and godly influence of a great church, think. Think. And I do not mean in any way to sound self-serving. I speak a little from experience here, for I have had a number of people over our years of ministry here say to me, you know, our family found this great piece of land, and it's far away from all the hubbub of this busy metropolis and away from all the commercialism. It's quiet. You can hear the birds sing. You can see the deer graze in the back, and it's just fabulous. Only to hear them after they've moved a year or two later drop by and say, you know what? We can't find a good church. You know, our kids are growing up here, and we didn't realize as we were making that choice what impact it was going to have on them. And they didn't even move to Sodom. They moved to a lovely area that had everything but the main thing. Don't underestimate the value of spiritual nourishment. How badly we all need it. Now forget. Let me just go with something you ought to forget before we give you something to remember. Forget about pleasing only yourself. Please. I know it seems like right now it'd just be great. Let me warn you, every decision I've made where I focused only on what I would benefit from it, I regretted every one. It led to far more pain than pleasure. And I also forgot Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Don't look out for your own self, but look out for the things of others. Forget about pleasing your own self, just for a change. Let's just say we don't do what we want to do here. Let's say we stay neutral enough to do what God wants us to do, whatever it may be. Here's what to remember. Remember, with greater independence and freedom comes the need for stronger personal discipline. With greater independence and freedom comes the need for stronger personal discipline. And if you lack that, I'm going to tell you before the fact, you will yield to the temptations of those wrong decisions. You hurry up in a marriage, you will marry the wrong person, and you will look back and think, what on earth was I thinking? Why on earth did I let myself go there? Or you partner with someone in business and you go back and realize, oh, what a bad decision that was. And now it's affected you. You haven't the wherewithal to break with that partnership. Remember, with greater independence comes a freedom, and with that freedom, the need for stronger discipline. I will say without hesitation, if your decision is going to take a toll on your walk with God, it's a bad decision. It's a bad decision. It isn't worth it. There's something more important than making more money or just finding the right school or just a little bit more land or locating a place that is a little quieter, less hectic. For some reason in God's plan for my life, He has never led me to live anywhere but where life is hectic, where the demands are constant, where the temptations of the big cities are always there. I'm not saying He leads everyone there, but I am saying He has led us in that way. He saw, He chose, He journeyed, He settled. You've heard me say this before, since this describes erosion. Erosion is slow and subtle and silent. Slow, not sudden. It is a subtle. It's not obvious. It's silent. It's not loud. Until you realize, as Lot does, we're going to get to it. What on earth have I done when I made that decision? What have I done? I'd like us to bow our heads, please, and sit quietly before the Lord. Sobering words are these. Let me get specific. You may be on the verge of a wedding. It's been a little bit of a hurried romance, and you're lonely, and you've listened to the promises of what may be your partner, and you've believed her or him, and you haven't stopped to think, is this really what I ought to do? Should I really marry this person? Or maybe you're about ready to make an enormous purchase, and you've not stopped to think, is this really best? should I do this? You may be in business and things have gotten a little tough and there's a partner available, and you know, he's not like you are, or she isn't exactly like you are, but you know, you'd have a partner in this thing, and you got to ask, should I partner with that person? Long term, is that going to be best? I'll tell you a decision worth worrying over, and that is, now that I'm living my life like I'm living it, am I ignoring a decision that I ought to be making? Have I left out the most important thing? Is Christ maybe on the back burner rather than preeminent in my life? I need to trust in Him. I need to turn to Him. Today, I need to make that decision. Good for you. There's one you'll never regret. Help us, our Father, in the midst of this instruction to glean truth to live by. May it give us guts. May it strengthen our discipline. May it clear our perspective. May it work on our tendency to be selfish. In the process, Lord, may you be glorified in the hard decisions we make that often go against what we would prefer, but what you would want. Lord, life gets so complicated and drawn out, and it's difficult in the midst of the mess to think clearly. And for that reason, we're grateful for instruction from whatever was written in earlier times. We're grateful for the endurance and the encouragement it can bring us, and for the hope that lies before us when we embrace the truth. Now, I pray that you'd give us the ability to get beyond pleasing people and pleasing ourselves, so that we might put into priority what it means to please you, whatever that may mean. And then may we do it without hesitation, or may we not do that without reservation, that you might be pleased. For those who teeter on the edge of a decision for your Son, Christ, we pray that the sun will not go down before they have turned to Him and find in Him the peace and the fragrance of a life well lived beginning as they trust in Him. It's in the name of Christ, our Master, our Savior, we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
In Genesis 13, we've witnessed a troubling choice. Chuck Swindoll calls it a decision that led to disaster. You're listening to Insight for Living. To purchase the 22 CDs or the downloadable audio files for the biographical series on Abraham, go to insightworld.org/store. In addition to Chuck's sermons, you'll find a variety of other resources for digging deeper as well. At Insight for Living, we believe the principles we're learning from Abraham's story can be directly applied to life in 2017. In fact, they must be. We are living in unsettling times, ravaging wildfires, back-to-back hurricanes, the threat of nuclear war, the mass murders in Las Vegas, and people divided over everything. In this climate, it's absolutely essential that we cling to God's promises. Carol Kent has done so. She tells her family's heart-wrenching story in a deeply personal book called When I Lay My Isaac Down, Unshakable Faith in Unthinkable Circumstances. Chuck selected this book for you because it naturally parallels our study of Abraham and because the Kent family so clearly demonstrates truth in action. When you give a donation to support Chuck's teaching on your station, we'll say thanks by sending a copy of When I Lay My Isaac Down. If you're listening in the U.S., ask for it by calling 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. Remember, when you give, you're the channel God uses to deliver Chuck's teaching to people in your community who rely on this program. And we know your gifts have an impact because we hear from grateful listeners who tell us their encouraging stories of life change. As we approach the end of the year, and with the holidays right around the corner, your generous year-end gift will mean so much. Let me give our contact information one more time. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. In addition to the daily program, Chuck Swindoll has provided a variety of helpful resources to complement your study on Abraham.
There's rarely a moment of the day when I'm not within arm's reach of a good book. Like you, perhaps I'm attracted to profiles of great leaders in history, or a powerful coach who motivated his players and championed his team to victory. But I'm especially drawn to biographies that reinforce the truth. Are you like that? A good biography translates truth into life. And let's admit it, sometimes theological discussions can be, well, boring or too theoretical. The truths discussed might be valid, but the presentation can become awfully sterile and abstract. That's what compelled me to embark on a study of Abraham, the venerable patriarch of the faith. And his life was anything but boring, sterile, or abstract. Let me invite you to get acquainted with this fascinating figure of our faith. I want you to see this man as you've never seen him before. Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith.
For a full complement of Bible study resources for the biography of Abraham, including books, CDs, audio files, and more, go to insight.org. Join us again Wednesday when Chuck Swindoll's study on the life of Abraham continues, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, A Decision That Led to a Disaster, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.